welcome to the Thwill Podcast, where to entertain and inform a bit while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark Arudin with Thwill and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm A.R. Palver, thinking maybe Chapter 2 was the friends we made along the way.
I'm DevQ, and what the fuck is Chapter 2?
Yeah, Chapter 2 is never showing up.
They're going to get through, like, they're going to get to the end of June, it's going to be, like, Chapter 1.5. Interlude.
See, here's the problem. They have to have stuff happen soon, because very soon marketing starts for the movie, and then everything is getting crushed underfoot.
Stuff has been technically happening. Something technically happened. It's just not okay. That. It's just moving at a snail's pace.
Here's the issue with that, AR. Actually, let's just go ahead and jump into Seekers, since we're kind of already...
Yeah.
We're already there. We'll kind of introduce at some point. Here's the issue with saying that, AR. We have seen nothing more than we had in the first episode of 2020.
No, this is a first episode. Chapter 1 is a first episode.
I know, but the problem is...
That's what's annoying about it.
The problem is we're like three months in at this point.
It's a 3 months first episode.
Yes.
This is like fucking Dragon Ball, except not as entertaining.
Like, Agumon is just evolving in the first episode of 2020.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. And here's the problem. You can occasionally look at the runtime in an episode of a show and go, okay, here's where we're at. So blah, blah, blah. We don't know if next week is the thing. I've gotten so annoyed with like it not moving along. I forgot to even check to see if it said 117 or 2-1 for next time. So I'm scrolling down now to check. No, 1-17 next week.
They're going to have the battle now. Once the battle's over, and whatever result comes out of that, that will be the end of Chapter 1, because this is written like a Digimon episode, only they're spending ass long taking with the describing the world.
And also how much of a fucking idiot he is.
Yes.
Yeah, they're like...
Let's stop to flirt with the cop that's going after you. Great idea.
So last week they show off with the cargo Digimon at the castle. And, like, we get, like, the weird, a lot of talking, like, how they found him. You're with them. You're Mind Link. We got a tip. And they're, like, repeating stuff we've been told. And then, like, oh, there's a crossfire. It's like, who are they fighting? Like, did I miss that? Because all of a sudden they said there's a cross. Are they, like, two of them crossfiring? Because Lugumon and Eiji weren't doing anything.
They were just kind of standing there.
Yeah, they were just kind of, what vibe I got from that was that to make the mapping project interesting, the guys called the police just to get them to scramble a little bit to see what that was about.
No. They said there was an actual crossfire, like, between people. And that's in Onkei's translation also, that at some point... While Eiji and Lugumon are talking to them, they start shooting and there's a crossfire, and I guess it's just generic Commandramon or something, because they like move on immediately from them being shot at like multiple people.
It is an interaction with the police, so that should be expected.
Well, no.
Yeah, these things just happen, though.
Well, the cops talked first, which isn't really realistic.
Oh, that's true.
And then, weirdly, like, AG calms down when he realizes it's a girl, which is fun.
That's not at all problematic.
And then it stops to comment on her clothes.
Yeah, everything's great.
It's very weird how it stops. It's like, she has Gyaru makeup, and she has a hat, boots, and a jacket. She doesn't really look like a cop, wink, wink. And then
it's okay that she's antagonizing because she's hot.
Yes, it stops to do that. And AG stops like two or three times to comment on this, which is weird because they don't have him actually say she's attractive or hot. He's just like, oh, it's a girl. That's fine. At least say why he's interested in her. Because otherwise it's weird because he's
great.
Not really.
Maybe he has a pop kink.
Our Digimon protagonist has the same mentality as Brock around Officer Jenny.
But no, Brock would actually comment. on them being
but
beautiful or whatever.
Competent as well.
Yeah, like, that's true.
Yeah, it's
like
care of himself.
The game level's about the same.
Like, you know what the issue is? Eiji's acting like the generic kid in an anime. It's a girl, and then he doesn't comment on what that means. We're just supposed to know, even though this is theoretically meant to be like an older light novel. Eiji's just like, haha, girl. And then
he's supposed to, like, we're supposed to believe he's like 17 years old and trying to.
But he's acting like he's 5. Adulthood.
He acts like he's 10. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Not even. He's like the most emotionally immature character.
Oh, emotionally, yeah. He's a 10-year-old gogglehead. Let's scale that down.
And then launching out of Cargo Dramon, this is where like they set it up as like. And then at the end of the chapter, they don't say who it is, but it's like, it's a slug. It's like, did they just do a bunch of setup to act like Numamon's threatening?
Yep, they did. Yep.
And then Numamon has a light on his head, and like he's just screaming about arresting them. And then it is talking for talking's sake. It is...
Like, we have to exposition.
Yeah. And then, and then they do that weird character thing where a character talks too much and then gets upset that they're giving personal information to them. But, like, why are you saying that your name's like, oh, it's from Shogi. This is from Princess. Why are you telling him this? And why are you upset at him that you're telling...
The writer is thinking this is a clever way to sneak that information to the audience, and it's really clumsy.
See, here's the thing. I don't mind it being clumsy. It's where, and we've talked about this before, where I they see. Have the character talk about it being, this is stupid that I shouldn't be doing, like that's supposed to make it, I'm winking at the audience that I know this is a thing to do.
It's like this is supposed to be a tense standoff between alleged criminal, alleged police officer, except both parties have ADD.
And then he's like, my name's AG. And then she's like, I didn't ask you shit. And he's like, no, forget that. I'm Fang. And it's like, oh, I forgot he had that nickname that does not fit at all.
It feels like that conversation is supposed to be played for laughs, even though there's no reason this scene should be played for laughs. Like, that's not what you want to be doing here.
And then they detail how, like, oh, the police are going to make a list of code. It's like, yeah, I think you would have already known that. And then Numamon's just...
apparently a giant wee-woo turn.
Yeah.
Crapping on everybody.
Yeah, and then, like, Lugamon's ranting about the Numamon, and she's upset about it. It's weird because, like, if it were not structured as little bites to eat, the stuff that I find annoying, I might find appealing because it would be part of a larger whole.
If this was a minute in a first episode, the whole exchange took 1 minute. And everything else was going on top of that, this might be entertaining.
Yeah,
not when it's the entire week session for the week.
I honestly wonder if it would make more sense if they just went, okay, it's not a year long, it's going to be half a year, and we'll do updates every other week. Because part of the issue is they're like chopping it up in weird ways that doesn't always structurally work.
There's no natural stopping point between.
So it creates an odd issue where even if it's content that I might find annoying as part of a larger piece, it might be fun where I'd go, like, roll my eyes and go, ha ha ha. Instead, it's all we get is like bantering and then like mock battling. And then like in the middle of the battle, everyone starts talking to each other again.
Yeah, it's just not great. It's not very confident writing.
I want to see
what happens now that with Lugarmon to see if they actually have any sort of intention of portraying an action scene with any degree of coolness.
Yeah. So we get the battles. He gets sucked in. And we get what's supposed to be the Iron Man vision. And then they stop so Lugarmon can be like, since we got here, I felt the power. The power, and then they stop to have. And then here's where they actually, where they stop because he says he wants to evolve. You're doing that 5 seconds later. You don't have to tell us that.
No, don't. You don't have to say. Don't have to build up to it. It's like, I'm ready to evolve. Just like, hey, I'm
fucking do it.
I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready for this. Let's go. Yeah. Boom. Sequence.
And then they evolve.
Cue the music in your head. Yeah.
And then the end. And the issue. See, having the image at the end works great, except for one thing. And we already knew what Lugermon looked like. Here's the issue I have, honestly. It feels a little too much like a 15-year-old girl going, I'm going to make the darkest cyberpunk Digimon story ever. It's going to be a dog, but he's going to be on fire. And he's going to have a muzzle. He's going to breathe fire. It's going to be a devil dog. And his name's Lugarmon.
Lugarmon.
We added an R.
It's a bit too, I'm going to make this dark. I'm going to be...
While arguing,
They just need to give him a gun.
Here's the problem.
While having these... It's supposed to be dark while having these stupid, stupid arguments between 20 years, and 20, Satsuki.
20 years ago, these images would already be put in a Linkin Park anime music video. Just crawling...
Absolutely. I would have enjoyed it even more if it was.
I still think that if they like put this together as an actual book, I might enjoy it more. It's just so haphazard the way they're putting it out.
No,
there.
even as a book, this is taking too long.
Here's the thing. I've lost track of how many pages this would actually be as a book. I think this would only be 20 or 30 pages.
That's still too long.
No,
there's so much stuff in here they could be condensing.
Oh, well, I would say this. The babbling and exposition, you could probably get rid of half of it without getting rid of anything.
Oh yeah, easily.
But like, if this were structured better, I think I'd be enjoying it more. I think the issue is it's just nothing. Like, even an episode, if they do a cliffhanger with the evolution right at the end, it's because so much happens right before it that you can leave on that awesome cliffhanger. Here, it was people babbling at each other for two chapter chunks.
You have to switch up the if you're going to do it in sessions, you have to switch up scenes. Like, Eiji's been in the wall place for 2 months now.
Has he been there that long in the story?
I think he's been there that long. I think he's been in the digital world for
it's been eight chunks.
He went in like chapter 8 or 9, yeah, or session 8 or 9.
Oh, it didn't feel
it's
that
been
long.
Bad.
It didn't feel that it's, long to me. I was gonna say like 5 at the most, but I think you're right.
It's been a while.
Yeah,
it's endless.
If you're going back to the first time he Iron Man, yeah.
I still I really hold out months. Hope that when chapter 2 hits, it will get moving. Although they do need to figure out what
I
to
don't,
do. The weakest part of this so far is AG. They need to figure out what to. Because here's the problem. They can't decide if he's the normal Digimon 10-year-old protagonist or if he's supposed to be 17 or we're supposed to take him seriously isn't quite the right word, but like...
He's a man-child.
He's not even a good man-child, though.
No, he's not.
He's just a fucking loser.
Yeah.
But like, he's not even like a proper 17-year-old loser. It's like what we're talking about where he's not even like...
He wants to portray himself as this dark, brooding guy, but he gets overexcited about literally everything he comes across, which does not suit his image at all.
Yeah.
Like, which is part of it is that he's trying to sell the world and the concept. Like, it's, oh, Digimon Linker, this is the coolest thing ever. Oh, Lugamon is the coolest thing ever. Oh, Girl Cop,
like,
that's the coolest thing ever.
But
I keep going back to the one, though, because he doesn't say... anything about her other than she's a girl. Give us something about why she's cool to him outside of I've never met a girl before. Say something like
I'm not convinced that prior to that secretary he had met a girl
Owen
before.
Can also do a link
but even with the secretary at times he kind of acted cool, sort of. Not on purpose,
not really.
Not on purpose. You know what
the
You know what part of the issue is they write the story as if the linker is this new thing, but to us, the linker is just a slightly different shape band on the bracelet. And if you buy one, they don't even give you the watch. The special set that you bought to get it early does not actually include a vital bracelet. You get the DIM card and you get the band. You have to have your own watch for it to be relevant. But this is treating it like it's some brand new, never before seen thing. It's like, yes, he has a slightly different blue/purple band.
I still have to wonder whether this is selling the Vital Bracelet better or worse than Ghost Game did, because Ghost Game did a really crap job of it too.
See, Ghost Game sold it poorly, but it occasionally showed it and it looked cool. It just didn't do much.
I absolutely killed my motivation to get the red one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did another batch of fan art. And a few people commented that there's no standby page for 117. They don't put those up, but when they post the new chapters on Twitter, they say the next one that's coming. It was mentioned in chat, someone didn't see the standby page. There is no standby page. If you check Digimon Web on Twitter, when they put up 116, the same post says, 117 will be out next week. And they still give the wrong time because they're unaware of daylight savings time in the U.S. So they still give like 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. every Sunday, even though it's 8 and 11.
Me.
Yeah.
I didn't read it until an hour ago, so.
You didn't miss much.
Nope.
I just kind of like binged it during like my 8-minute break at work.
I honestly think if they made the chapters more like 20 minutes, it'd be more fulfilling. It just is not enough, especially weekly, to work.
I killed off two in just maybe about 3 minutes tops. Yeah.
I think the lengths would be okay if they did something with them.
See, I'm not sure they would have to be writing it as a web novel for that to work, and that clearly was not done. This was written as a light novel, and then it was split apart. Which makes me wonder if at one point they planned to just sell a book in the summer, and then they went, wait, we can milk this. Because here's the other issue. They mark it as like this whole 25th anniversary thing, and it's fucking not. Minus that they say it's a 25th anniversary project. It has no relevance to the franchise at large yet.
They just threw in a Tyrannomon.
Yes.
Three of them.
So far. And then that's it for Seekers. And hey, look, there's going to be a Digimon announcement at Otakon. And so says Justin Savakis. And I was quoted as saying,
Yes, you don't know anything about this at all, I'm sure.
Multiple people messaged me after seeing I said that, and they said, that's the funniest fucking thing I've seen all day.
Yeah. I was going to say, is anyone like straight up asking, so what is it? Like, you're going to tell
me? I've seen good guesses. I've seen guesses that are fucking horrendously bad. They're going to announce Digimon Story.
They're going to announce a Digimon Burlesque.
Discotech is going to announce the next story.
Or are you ready for the worst guess so far?
Yes.
Okay.
I think I might have seen it.
Okay. It starts with, I know who that is. That's the voice of Ty in 2020.
Oh, God. Okay, that's worse.
Yeah, and you can imagine where this thought path leads from there. But yes, I've seen multiple guesses that thinks Justin is Ty in 2020.
Which is really embarrassing if you know what the voice of Ty in 2020 looks like.
Yes.
Just leaving it there.
But also, it's worth mentioning, it's not like they have similar names where, like...
Not at all.
It's not like... They definitely don't look alike. They don't have similar names. Nope. They don't have similar usernames. Justin doesn't say anything to suggest that he's a voice. But yes, and of course, if you click the link where I put it, because people were responding to me with stuff like story, I say who Justin is.
Mm-hmm.
And I detail who Justin is. And that's about as much of a clue as anyone's going to get.
This is
their reading comprehension is pissing on the poor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, why don't you guys go ahead and guess what you think it's going to be?
Blu-rays?
Wild guess there, Dev.
I'm going to be a little more specific than that. I see a lot of people guessing that it's a 02 announcement. I think it's going to be the movies. At least the adventure movies is my guess.
Those are all I don't know if it's, guesses.
Like, I would say like a release of the Japanese version of at least movies 1 and 2. That's what I'll put down.
See, you guys at least have what I consider to be reasonable guesses based on knowing who he is and knowing enough about it. Those are reasonable guesses. Oh yeah, and Otakon is about a month and a half away. And what I especially love this is anyone responding to me or Justin with the sneaky eyes and people going, that person must know. What does Chris McFeely know? It's like, you don't know if Chris McFeely knows anything, because Chris loves to jump in and help stir the pot.
Yeah.
He's a fucking troll and a glorious one. But
all wikis should look to Chris McFeely as a guide. Digimon fandom lost so much when he decided to spend more time with Sonic and Transformers. Yeah. But yeah. So that's about a month and a half away. And we will certainly be talking about it after.
Did they mention what day is going to be on?
There is no Otakon schedule yet.
That's up to the scheduling gods.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm not a scheduling god for that convention. I'm only a scheduling god for two others.
And ironic,
one of which I need to send the schedule out to various people tonight still.
And I believe the weekend after Otakon would be the show week, but I believe that's when AR will not be around. So
the day after Otakon ends, I will be flying. So unless you want me to try to do a half hour podcast from the Detroit airport,
we'll see if it's good news or not. It may be that based on scheduling, maybe we do one a day early that week.
It's not going to be bad news. It's not going to be like, yeah, that Blu-ray is canceled.
I mean, here's the thing. It could just be that the subbed Blu-rays will be there early.
No, what's really happened is that
they're all going to implode.
To be fair, since I'm technically the marketing manager, I could be saying it just to fuck with people, and it actually is what's happening.
Oh, we'll just pass that off to Justin and see what he says. It's like, so, in this clip, Mark just put up this theory. What's your take on that?
I like that you think that if I was going to do that, I wouldn't have already talked to 10 people and said, I'm going to do it, and it'll throw them off the scent. And moving on from that to, hey, we have movie stuff. We get, they're going to do monthly little going over the character, showing us the art, showing us the storyboard. I really wish people would read the stuff before commenting on the storyboard. Someone's like, she has a child. No, she doesn't. Read the
text. She's helping with the daycare. She's just helping at a daycare. Yeah.
She doesn't have like 4 children.
Though I will say I love the Tailmon getting grabbed.
Yes.
Look, that's just what happens when you have furry creatures around small children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They suffer.
And the storyboard is notable because it's by director Taguchi. Oh. And they finish by going, hey, send in your favorite, quote or episodes for Hikari. One of the Digimon partner staffers gave a sample answer. Adventure episode 37, which is the Angelmon episode.
Adventure 37. Yeah.
02 episode 7, which I believe is the Andromon one.
Which episode? 7?
Yeah, I think that's Andromon in 02.
That's Andromon.
And then episode 31, which is the Sylphimon episode.
Sylphimon, yeah.
Yeah. And their favorite Hikari line was from Adventure episode 18. 02 episode 18. We won't go back home until we've beaten the Kaiser. That's the sort of determination that we need. And okay. I like starting off with Hikari first because it's a good one to start off with because it's probably the one that's easiest to have figured out what she would be up to.
Yeah, it's not revealing a whole lot.
Yeah.
Except that she has a kid.
who's torturing Tailmon. I love that fucking art. The stretchy face they've done to Tailmon there is perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll see another one of these in a few weeks. And then we got a nice stack of Digifest news. So first, we have the key art. And I will say, we were being told the truth. This is very different than how key art's been structured in recent years for these. Normally, it's themed very much on the venue. Like, the Tamers art was done because they were at that marina place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The art last year, they couldn't figure out what to do, so they put them on the stairs right outside the venue. Here, they said two things. One, the structure would be different, which it is. It's structured all on 02 and digital stuff. And two, they suggested that most of what we would see would be sellable this year.
And
in fact, looking around, outside of stuff that might be considered affectations on the kids, like Miyako's bracelet, shoes, that sort of thing, they are all wearing the shirt, which is being sold, and a number of them have the pen lights with the D3.
I actually really want that. That's cute as shit.
Yeah. And Daisuke and Vimon both are doing the V, which could be a V sign or a 2 for 02. Armadamon's having way too much fun with... I want to say shirt, but doesn't that look more like a towel? That's not really like a shirt.
It looks like a scarf, kind of.
Well, no, it looks like one of those muffler towels they often sell.
Yeah.
In fact, I want to say all the Digimon, minus Vimon and Ukomon and Wormon, all the ones who have something, it's a muffler towel, I'm pretty sure. Although Armadamon's having way too much fun with it, I feel like.
Dangerous.
It's weird because I keep looking and they don't have them next to their Digimon. So your eyes have to scan the picture much more than normal. Because like you look up and you see Patamon.
Yeah, they're all on opposite. They're all on opposite sides.
That's Iori.
Yeah, and
except for Iori and
yeah, and yeah. Isn't it nice that Takaru they gave a hat?
Of course.
Yep.
That is the greatest
just
joke
with Leomon dying.
That is the greatest thing that Tri introduced that they are not minimizing in any form. Is just the tats just change at random. Yeah, I love the key art though. They did pre-sales for the shirt and the penlight. They also opened up general ticketing. And they gave us details of the reading play. Both are about the day of a certain fireworks shows, but with different plots for performance. One has to do with them trying to win a lotto for VIP tickets in a haunted house. The other is they get lost at a fireworks show and they have to follow clues and be rational. And that does not happen.
Oh, that's not going to happen. Yeah, that's not them.
Yeah, that's not the O2 cast at all. And the cast of O-Plays is the entire Kazuna, the beginning O2 cast, along with special guests who may just appear as voices. It feels like that means Tai Chi to me.
Hard to say.
Yeah, this feels very much like the Tri Beach one, where they went sillier and then they sort of stopped doing that to try to be like, it needs to have depth if we're going to do these. And then that stopped being fun.
I think that was the other seasons. I thought the 02 one was the first 02 one they did was kind of.
Well, remember, that wasn't a stage play, that was a Blu-ray bonus. Even Frontier's Blu-ray bonus was kind of like wacky bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, Pumpmon and Gatsumon showed up.
Yeah.
Dusk. Loimon kept trying to go evil and turn into Duskmon.
Mm-hmm.
I weirdly like that penlight, even though it's basic cheap crap. That it's customized to be like the D3, I dislike.
It's very fun. Yeah. But also simple.
Yeah. And also for DigiFest, they start going, hey, post up your DigiFest memories with this hashtag on Digimon Partners. And most people ignored them and put it on Twitter. As you do.
Yeah.
I like it that they've been posting some of the photos on Twitter, though, afterwards. Mm-hmm. And there's been some nice ones. Like the person with the Wormmon plush at DigiFest. Or like the one person they're posting that they're bringing their Agumon plush to all the different DigiFests in different outfits.
Aww.
Yeah, and that was just neat. Moving on from that, Digimon Partners did their monthly DigiGift calendar, and it's new art for Digimon Savers.
I was not expecting that even remotely.
It's nice new art. But once again, I have the same complaint I had last time. The art's great, it looks great. The compositing for the actual calendar is fucking horrendously ugly. It's like low resolution junk. Like they do this.
I don't understand why they have it so small. It's like phones have, you know, computing power. It doesn't need to be 5 kilobytes.
Well, that's the thing. The actual image is fine resolution wise, and the art, a bit over compressed, but I fixed that in like 5 seconds. But the actual compositing of the dates, it's like they took a low resolution one, upscaled it poorly, and went, yep, that's good. The art quality on this though is great, honestly.
Yeah, I put this as my phone screen because I needed to update. I still had the Survive Kids.
Well, you get like it. You get it for a month.
Yep. Next month better be something usable too.
I feel like I can already guess what next month is. I feel like it has to be the DigiFest artwork.
Yeah.
With the same horribly composited bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Oh no.
Honestly, though, if they composited those in nicer, I would have no complaints about these. It's just that the
Savers cast now.
I did not hear what you just said.
I kind of want to see the rest of the Savers cast now.
Yeah, me too.
I think while I don't disagree, it seems like it was above the line of what to expect that we got new Savers art as part of this in the first place.
They can have December.
December's considered a good month.
No, I meant something that's not interfering with DigiFest or the new movie.
Yeah, I guess December would make sense.
I want Santa Gaumon.
I think Santa Lalamon would be funnier. Just with the hat and nothing else. And also...
I want her to have a whip made of coal.
Also, technically speaking, you could put the hat on her and just have her head entirely covered because it's the same shape. Like, there's nothing for the hat to, like, sit on, so it's just a hat.
Wait, no, even better. They just tie antlers to the little yellow leaf on her head.
And then, okay, we get, like, multiple swerves in a week. So first, from Psycho Jump, we see that Digimon Dreamers is going on a hiatus because it's moving to Digimon Web, and they'll be putting all the old chapters up. And then... Tenya Buno posts, it was like, he posted on like early Saturdays, like, he's heard that apparently they're going to be putting them up in English and Chinese also, so fans around the world will be able to read it, and he's very happy about that. And later that day, Digimon, whoever runs Digimon Twitter must have realized that the writers and artists is going, hey, this is apparently happening. They went, yes, English and Chinese, but we still have no actual details about like how it's going up, but hey, Digimon Dreamers is officially going up in multiple languages, which is good. I assume all the chapters will be up before it exits its hiatus in the fall. And that will be fun. Hopefully the translation's good, but...
I doubt it.
I've heard it's...
No, there is no manga there. It is the text thing going through the machine translator that people are like going, the translation's not good. There is no manga there yet, people. It is a generic synopsis going through a machine translator. There is no manga there at the moment. People keep going, well, this is a sample of the manga translation. No, it's not. Is it going to be any better? Maybe not, but there's nothing there to show what the manga is going to look like at all, period.
I'm not optimistic.
Oh, I'm not saying I am either, but there's a very difference from it's probably going to be this to people going, there's already a sample there when there's not.
But we have options.
Yeah.
Which I need to finish.
Uh-huh. So we will see when stuff starts to go up, and hopefully good resolution. And Tenya Buno also put up the chapter page for 21, which is the last one in Psycho Jump. And a bunch of people... This is where we point out that people like need to comment. People go, I don't understand why it would leave Psycho Jump. Psycho Jump is a marketing magazine for 8-year-olders.
Yeah.
Like, it is spin-off stuff to currently running animes and stuff like that, and occasionally card promos to get older fans to buy. It is not like... It's
not V-Jump.
Even V-Jump is mostly marketing stuff, but V-Jump is aimed at everyone. Psycho Jump is not like a manga magazine. It is a magazine filled with manga to market to brands. There is nothing to market Digimon for month to month like this at the moment. It's more valuable putting it online where people will go, maybe look up Seekers, maybe look up toys, and so forth. But as it is, there's no reason for it to be there. Outside of one or two pages of card previews every month, I don't even know if it has anything Digimon anymore in it. I wouldn't be shocked if it ends around 26 or so, though, to be honest. It feels like that's about... because that would be about a second volume physically.
So that makes sense.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be shocked if we get roughly half a year once that happens. Especially since he's helping judge the stuff for the next Digimon manga, theoretically. So we will see. And God bless Dev when they decide how to officially translate the Pulsemon's name. Because as far as I'm aware, Wikimon's already been arguing about how to spell his name.
Oh, God.
I wonder what the current spelling is. Let's see here. The current spelling is... Oh, Pulsemon with the nickname Paul. That makes more sense than what it originally was on there, to be honest.
I was expecting Pursemon.
It was originally Pal. Which, Pal, here's the thing. Pal could be what they use without...
That would make sense.
Without an official... But here's the thing. Without an official translation, they use the first two syllables of Pulsemon, is I believe how it's spelled in Japanese. So it could be Pal, but without any information, I would probably just say it's a shortening of Pulsemon, which also fits the shortening they used in V-Tamer a lot. Not that it's...
Yep, because it was Pal and Pol.
No. I mean for characters in general. Like, it'd be Leo the Leomon, Gabu the Gabumon. A good chunk of the names there were just shortening the... whatever.
It's like, oh, I don't feel like lettering the entirety of this. Just
yes.
Everyone has a nickname.
Exactly. So I'm looking forward to that. We will see how it actually ends up. And then, Card-O-Rama. So, first up, Elecmon. Great art. Great design work on this, frankly.
Yeah, I like that one.
I'm so happy.
Tokomon and Messenger of Hope. Messenger of Hope is an anime card, so we don't have to say anything about Midas. That is definitely not the better video that I worked on.
Nope.
No, it's not. It hurts to look at.
The Tokomon art looks great. They're looking at something shiny. And we got to see what it was at the next update, where it's a Patamon in front of Stingler. The Patamon looks so amazing in this art. Like, it's almost CGI.
Mm-hmm.
Like, looks fantastic. I love
the Angemon's in the background on the stained glass, too.
Yeah. And the Patamon in the stained glass. I love the Patamon in the stained glass.
Oh, yeah. Just a ball.
Yeah. Gaburimon. Great leaping art. I love anytime Asmaria does not do mech-type stuff. It's so easy to forget how good he is at, like, flesh detailing and shit. Because we're so used to it being spiky mech. So it's always fun to see him do, like, a non-spiky character. Gassomon. This is the coolest thing Gassomon's ever been associated with, I think.
Which isn't much, so...
But it's still true.
Yeah.
He's attacking a ship. Good for him. Shakomon just has a bunch of them hanging out at the beach. This is one where it's cute, but there's nothing in the image itself, minus that it's Shakomon with a background and also another few Shakomon. Shellmon, I love the angle on this one. It really feels different for Shellmon.
Yeah, I usually don't get, like, above
yeah.
view for that one. It's just, like, from the side or below.
Shellmon in my head is just the same pose we always see him at, which is the anime and the anime profile, where we see him from, like, 3/4 to the front.
Yeah,
straight on.
Just coming out of the shell.
Yes. And then we get Bowmon with a Fusamon.
God, that is the best one.
That is amazingly cute art.
Look at they're sitting on newspapers.
Yeah. And then we get Lugarmon trying to look very menacing and evil.
He just looks confused.
I'm a 13-year-old. I'm a 13-year-old's idea of what's edgy, but also...
He looks like a dark version of a Digicross involving Darulumon.
I mean...
Am I the only one who sees that?
No, I get what you mean. Where it's sort of like Darulumon, where he would try to act menacing, and then the next scene he'd look like a goof.
It's like, okay, yep, he's Tsundere. Yeah.
And then Waves of Sincerity, which is the screen cap. I feel like we should get, like, the blast firing off in the screen cap. Because instead it's just, like, a weird shot of Zudomon.
Yeah.
And Joe, great Joe art. I feel like it's not quite as distinct as the Mimi art. At least for me.
Yeah, it's just...
Hard to say.
It's Joe.
Yeah. Plesiomon gets some great art. Glaceomon gets to be relevant for 5 seconds.
I'm still trying to figure out what that other Digimon back in the corner is.
It looks familiar.
Yeah, Texas sure. covered up too much of it to identify it.
Then Missimon and DCD Bomb. Now, interestingly, someone said this is actually the first time we've seen a DCD Bomb. That they've described it and stuff, but it's never been shown. I don't know if that's true, but it's interesting. It looks very much like the Bombmon.
It does.
And Missimon looks cool in there also. Satsuki is the profile art. Now, she is the one. She's the one with the Numamon in the current chapters, correct?
Yes.
They've been swapping between
they mislabeled this card. It should be Girl Cop.
Numamon fan.
Yeah.
There's a big. She has a Numamon lapel.
Then Commandramon. Great art of them like going through the wall slum. Good background and everything.
Interrogating a Pagumon.
A big high point of the month is Pangeomon. That is amazing artwork.
And he exists.
Saber Leomon also gets amazing artwork. Doesn't quite stand up to Leomon and Pangeomon, though, to be honest.
No.
Just because they had... Devimon gets some great art. That's fantastic art for him. Darkwing Delusion is a screen cap. Although not as ugly a screen cap as we're used to be fair. Cockatrimon gets art that says, hey, it's Cockatrimon. And doesn't do... Like, there's some nice blurring around it, but it doesn't show it doing anything in here.
That's its pose.
Yes, it is.
That's what a Cockatrimon does.
Piccolomon looks great. It's not doing much, but it looks great. I feel like you need to show scale in an image with Piccolomon.
Yeah.
Koromon looks great. It's Kenji Watanabe drawing Koromon with a bunch of Botomon. It just looks good. War Dragon of Courage is screenshot. And really not a good choice, to be honest.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Agumon from Kenji Watanabe. And
I like this
one. Yeah, and card battles on a break that week because it's a 5 Thursday month. So Meguro and Chiba just posted a photo of Chiba fucking around. Basically, it's like, hey, 5 months, so just let's just say it's a week off. But they still put that Agumon card is the extra preview they would have done with card battle, so they still did that. Numamon, which is specifically the one from Seekers with the police siren, they should have waited to put up the chapter for this one. They did it first, so we knew what was coming. This really would have been a great card to wait for, honestly. And then Black King Numamon, which is a good choice, doing both of its attacks at once. I like when they show the ones doing multiple attacks. It's always a high point for me. Then we get Tanamon and Togemon. Great art of both, honestly. I like the Togemon just sitting there looking at the leaf and there's Numamon around doing nothing. And then, oh no, they let out the edgy teenager again. It's Hell Lugarmon.
Oh no.
Who let the dogs out?
It's just fire.
And a skull. A metal skull.
Isn't that a metal skull mask? You know what? You know what this is? If you look at it carefully, it's like when you see a movie or a TV show that takes place in the 70s and a parent is freaking out about Kiss. And it's just like, really? Yeah, they look real terrifying. Skull Greymon, great. This is like a better evil image to me, because it just looks menacing, and it's
like
launching.
It's like he's smirking.
Yeah. You know what? You know, it feels like it would have fit in if we were told. Like, you can see a city in the background, but ignoring that, it feels like this could be Skull Greymon from the Ghost Game episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of in a weird nightmare space and stuff. Then we got some... Then some batches, we get Skull Satamon doing his little staff. Deathmon. A lot of people didn't like the perspective on this one. They felt it made his bottom look tiny. I kind of like the flying perspective. Palmon looks good. I love when they do like the new art in anime styles with backgrounds and stuff. Poison Ivy looks great.
The Anime Plus looks good.
Yeah. Then card battle from about a week and a half ago has Lugumon and Eiji. We had looks at these early. Now, these were blank originally when we got the first previews, weren't they?
Yeah, I think it was just the titles. There weren't any actual,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, they, like, blanked out everything.
Packs.
Eiji is his art that made people go, oh, man, we're getting an adult, cool protagonist. And no, we did not. And Lugumon looks best in this weird SD styling, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I still want some of the Digimon figures of Lugumon.
It feels like you could do a series or two, do that, do the new Mon with the light on its head.
Or maybe just do like the 3X antibody child levels together since they're on the poster.
Yeah. And then they showed off the cards that are getting parallel cards from the survey pack. Actually, new cards. And there's some interesting choices here. It's Shadramon, Nightmon, Morphmon, Rust Tyrannomon, getting an ace card, Diablomon getting an ace card, and Skull Knightmon. I think the winner here is probably Knightmon for cool-looking art. Because, like, the issue is Diablomon looks cool, but also if you told me that was reused Diablomon art, I would have to go and check. And then for some prize cards, we get Coromon, Metal Greymon Virus, and Blackwork Greymon. The Metal Greymon card with the other pieces, the other... evil ones. It looks great. And also we get evil Coromon training. Then at the Bandai card shop in the Namco Akihabara shop, they put up, you know, promotional stuff for Digimon card game months, which is running until the end of July. We got some previews there. I think all of these previews we got previews of later before the show, but they're doing all sorts of little events there. We got a printable playmat for 15 and 16 using the box art. We got a promo. We got a promo poster for set 14. They used to give us these high resolution. Now they don't. These are lower resolution than the single card previews.
I wonder why.
Yeah, because like it's not like they spoil stuff in them anyways. In general, promo art showing Fenrir Lugumon.
It just looks like a. Mirage Galgamon.
I was going to say General Knight Gurumon. In fact, that's the place on the poster that we would get Metal Gurumon.
Yes. I'm surprised he didn't flip him around. Because like, they're both facing the left.
I think they don't want to because this is the first time we're seeing the art. So they don't want to flip stuff around, really. Even though there's probably nothing to stop it. And then we got clean card images of starter deck 15 and 16. Plus, this is where like, oh, a three-month break where I don't have to do this. It's like, oh, organizing the promo cards for these. 3 months meant there was like 75 of them. And because I always put in too much effort, I still organize them into their actual groups. So if you scroll below the previews of the starter decks, I actually still went through and go, this is what these promo cards are. This is these. Linking to the articles when we have them for all of them.
You're a masochist.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 batches of them. And then Tamer, they announced Tamer Battle EX, which is another Tamer Battle monthly event that will start in September. Wait, was it September or was it October? August and September is when it starts. It will be Tamer Battable with custom rules. The first rule set will be 3-on-3, and the prizes will be Tamer Battle Pack 19 for everyone who participates, and Royal Knights Purge with parallel art of the art from Hyper Colosseum. And the interesting thing is we don't know what Battle Pack 19 is. They only announced it for this, and they've not done previews yet. So all we know is Shoutmon's on the cover. So Shoutmon is probably the card and the winner's card. And that is
he deserves it.
And that is great anime plus style art of Shoutmon. Just fantastic. Hard Battle did their matches for 15 and 16. That was up. They did ace decks on both sides. And that will probably be off break in 3 days from now. And then everyone's favorite, it's time for polls. People got really fucking upset about this one, the poll results from the version 5.
I don't know. They looked pretty much what we pretty much predicted.
Roughly. A number of people were upset at Metal Tyrannomon winning by one vote. Yeah. X-Tyrannomon was only down by one vote. So that kind of upset people that X-Tyrannomon was that close to winning.
But it's X-Tyrannomon. Why would... What else are you voting for?
And then, third place, Dark Tyrannomon and Devidramon had the exact same amount of votes.
Oh, that's great.
The showings here were the showings here were all pretty solid until you hit Tuskmon. Tuskmon, Cyclamon, Gizamon, and Rarimon.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
It isn't.
Deltamon had a decent showing, though.
No,
I think Deltamon.
Deltamon, Gazimon, Flymon, and Nanomon all had decent showings, honestly.
Yeah.
The other ones are just like, well, you already have dinosaurs in this set that are cooler.
Yeah. Especially since...
You have a few people where it's just like, okay, well, this weird creature is my favorite.
Especially since the top four were over 60%, that everyone else mostly had good showings. And then the new poll was a surprise, but I don't think it was a bad surprise for many people. Pick your favorite adult form of the elites from Digimon Savers.
Rest Yay. In peace, Flamon.
And then people were upset that Peckmon wasn't showing up. Peckmon is the plus one.
He is the plus one.
Peckmon is not the actual lead. Peckmon is Peckmon is the Green Ranger, but less popular.
I don't know if he's less popular, but I don't mind keeping it to the trio.
No, I mean less popular in the sense that the Green Ranger is like the most popular among the Power Rangers.
Well, yeah.
Peckmon, at best, is on the same level as these three.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, at the same level. Like, Peckmon would beat Sunflowmon.
See, here's Peckmon's...
It's not that hard.
Here's Peckmon's level of relevance. I said Peckmon, and then in my head I went, I hope it's Peckmon, or else I've forgotten the name.
Yes, it's Peckmon.
Yeah. It was more relevant in Next.
And my
Probably, it really was.
And my personal favorite response when I put this up, which shows Saver's popularity, was people going, why does Greymon look different?
Wow.
That was...
Considering how many games Geo Greymon's been in by now.
Yeah, you should be able to identify Geo Greymon.
Yeah.
So, who do you think wins?
It's probably going to be Geo Greymon. I'm trying to envision where Gaugamon takes it.
I feel like Gaugamon could, because it's a small number of things, and it's not a normal Greymon, for lack of a better phrasing.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm
trying to talk myself into the possibility of Gaugamon winning this. I voted for Gaugamon.
I think we can roughly agree that unless there's multiple bouts of vote stuffing, Sunflowmon's third.
Who is stuffing the ballot for Sunflowmon?
I didn't say it'd be done for a smart reason.
Can they stuff it to make it look less? Like, try to bury it down to, like, let's see if we can get Sunflowmon down below 5%.
Seriously, that could happen anyways.
Well, yeah, what's the over under for Sunflowmon's performance here? Is it 15?
See, here's 10? That's the thing, is there's so few choices.
Right.
That I feel like you could almost, like, I feel like there's actually a possibility of like 20%. That's high. Right. But because there's so few choices, you will get people who look and go, oh, Sunflowmon, I'm going to vote for that one.
I'm
going to vote for, like, my waifu's clunky adult form.
You know what? Okay, Ramon said Sunflowmon already knows he's going to be third place, and when you look at the photos, it kind of does.
That's why I don't like Sunflowmon. It's like one of my least favorite adult forms.
Like Greymon's like, rawr, I'm Geo Greymon. Yeah. Gaugamon's like, rawr, I'm Gaugamon. And then Sunflowmon's like,
I'm here too.
Sunflowmon's like, a bronze medal doesn't mean much when there's only three of us.
And I'm here too, just trying to get a paycheck.
And then moving on from that, we get the weekend batches. So first up, they showed off the wallpaper for the 25th Final Cup Vital Bracelet event, and it's exactly what you would expect, minus the sample text. Then CG World put up an article that went to in depth on Toei, where they recreated their old building in VR and were doing screenings in it. They did an article about that. Not much Digimon was mentioned in there. So, but they did show photos of some of the Digimon decorations, which are scans of old material, which was neat because it's actually like... The rooms were supposed to be like circa late 90s generically, and they actually found like the era appropriate marketing images. Some of like that running tie, I'm not sure we've seen since. I think it's on a CD or something from back then. That's about it. And then Oizumi is doing an anime event called Anime Project in Oizumi. The Toei Museum pointed out if you go there and fill out the survey, you get a Pretty Cure Digimon sticker. And it also posted to remind people to please not print out the survey and bring it to the Toei Museum. They do not have stickers to give you. They are just letting you know to fill out the survey to get the stickers. I'm trying to decide, did they post that generically or were they already getting people showing up for stickers?
If not for this event, then for a similar previous event, yes. I'm sure.
And then we got it right before the last show, reference book with Cargo Dramon, but worth seeing again. That is just amazing artwork.
Yay, Cargo Dramon.
It's just fantastic. And then
single-handedly justifying the existence of Seekers.
So far that's the best thing about Seekers is Cargo Dramon.
Cargo Dramon.
And then we get a bunch of updates from China. I love when like I'm doing something, then I start getting notification. I'm like, okay, I know this person. They send me Chinese stuff, and they're like, you know, but I'm busy, so I'm looking at them. Like 10 minutes later, I get another message. 30 minutes later, I get another message. I'm like, what are they sending me? And I go look, and it's just a bunch of stuff and more details that make it really easy to like write about it, which is why we do so much about China's Chinese Digimon fans are the first ones to go, here's a link, here's art in case the link doesn't work. If anything doesn't make sense, please ask me. I'll explain it. So the Shanghai Film Festival, Toei will be presenting a number of films, modern and historical, under the name Traces of Time. So they have Puss in Boots, the two original Galaxy Express movies, the two Digimon adventure films, Pretty Cure, Sailor Moon stuff. And the Digimon ones get the second most screenings. The only thing with more screenings is the Galaxy Express movies, which makes sense.
That's fair.
Each of the Digimon ones has 5 screenings each. And it looks like they're one right after the other based on time. I think it's the same, like, screening room. They just give them the same time and you show up and see both. So, yeah, so that's very neat, I think.
And Hikari will have an interlude between them talking about Wallace for some reason.
It's been 4 years. Oh, wait, actually, it'd be 8 years. We need 2 interludes. Oh, wait, no, 1 interlude. The third movie's not showing because no one would care.
Yeah, they're not showing the third movie because it's the third movie.
The third movie, you need to have naps in between whatever plays next.
I could take a nap. You could just take a nap during.
And they were also announcing that they were doing lotteries for some tickets, so you could just get tickets easily. And then they announced for Children's Day in China, Taobao Life will have various anime stuff, including Digimon Adventure. It's one of those pseudo, not quite VR social stores and that sort of thing. The main things we could see is they're using art that I think most of this was from 2020 and it's rebranded.
I think so.
Yeah, it's one of those things where this, you know what?
I'm getting a weird uncanny valley.
Is this from the US calendar like 3 or 4 years ago where we first saw this art? This isn't 2020 art. I think this is from that US calendar where they drew new stuff.
It looks weirdly.
I don't remember anymore.
It's uncomfortably familiar.
Yeah, we've seen
it. I have a calendar shoved somewhere in a closet. It's
newish art, but the more I look at it, the more I think it isn't 2020. They also show like the weirdly creepy CGI Mimi.
I don't want to talk about that.
That's horrifying.
It's not from 2020 art. There's similar 2020 art to that, but that's not. It's not that.
Yeah. And then it's been announced that mobile MMO Roko Kingdom in China. This is a monster collecting battling game. I looked up some screenshots and went, "Oh, this looks like Pokemon." It's doing a collaboration starting in September. It was mentioned in a recent poll for collaborations. Digimon was the number one. Most of September will be pre-reservation. The event will run through November. All they listed as far as Digimon, they listed the final forms from the original anime. So we'll see what pops up. We're not going to be playing it, so someone send us screen caps and or clips when it shows up.
Thank you.
Yeah. This isn't one where, like, the game exists here, but the collaboration doesn't. So maybe stuff will slip in, like how... What was that one game where, like, no one got it, but a few people got it, like, once, and including me, and then I just uninstalled it after getting screen caps?
Oh, what the hell is the name of it?
Was it Puzzle? It wasn't Puzzle and Dragon, but it was like a ripoff of Puzzle and Dragon, I think.
It was a ripoff, yeah.
But like, Digimon Heroes was a ripoff of Puzzle and Dragon, I think. Or one.
I know which game you're talking about. We can move on.
Yeah.
It's that one.
And then Social Art, which is great. It's raining. Bloom Lordmon is sad. Gamomon has a raincoat.
It's so cute. Oh my god.
And Quantumon says sunny skies will be soon. You can see the sunlight coming down. Bloom Lordmon. It's hard to draw someone sad who doesn't have features.
That's a poor sad Char in the rain.
He didn't get to blow up anyone today. Although Quantumon is weirdly happy about all this. Yeah. And then we have questions, so you guys in chat can throw yours up. First one said, someone wants to know, did we think the new Digimon movie will be in theaters outside of Japan? Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
They tried it with Kizuna and got pandemic blocked.
I mean, it did make it to a few countries, though. China did. I think Australia got a few screenings.
I can totally see it, yeah.
UK did end up with one or two later.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure after we had it on home video.
Yes. Still.
And they're still waiting for it on home video when the theater distributor was a home video distributor. So everyone was like, this is going to be teasing it. No.
They're on UK time.
Yeah, so the only thing that may cause issues is it's opening in October in Japan, which would mean for peak energy, you want November, December, which is... Oh,
good luck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like...
I don't know if it's like a one-day thing, then.
Oh, possibly, but it'll be a one-day thing on a Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll have to drive 30, 40 miles.
I wouldn't be surprised if they kicked it to, like, January or something.
Yeah.
Not ideal, but better than Christmas.
Yeah, or they'll find some convention in November, December to premiere it at, and then at the premiere they'll be like, in January it will be in 100 theaters. Woo.
Trying to think if there are any big conventions in November.
I think the first big ones would be Anime LA in January.
Yeah.
There must be something in November, December, though, that we're just not thinking of.
I don't know. It's
some used to be around this area, but they kind of got shut in the spring.
There are conventions. It's a question of if there's any big ones. Like, they'd bring
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that hasn't stopped them before. Where was the 2020 premiere? And we only found out about it like 2 or 3 days before?
I don't remember.
Oh, that was Otakon.
That wasn't Otakon.
No, it was a Crunchyroll. Wasn't it the Crunchyroll thing?
I don't think so.
Is it Crunchyroll or New York? I think it was in New York. I'm trying to think. I think it was
Digimon Mike Tool, because Mike was there, so it must have been mentioned.
Yeah, I want to say it was something. New York is coming up in my head.
I know Mike Tool was there. Oh, wait. It's, No, Mike doesn't mention the convention in his tweet. No. Damn. It was November. Oh! Okay, that date, that work, that works, that gives us an answer. Was it Anime New York?
I've been thinking New York, so...
Yeah. Okay, that is a week before, that's like a week and a half before it comes out in Japan. They actually could do that. Oh, here, yeah. I finally found my article. It is... Yes, it's Anime New York. So, technically, yes, they could do a sub-screening right before it comes out in Japan if they wanted to at Anime New York. I don't expect them to, but it's not impossible. Hopefully, they would give us more of a heads-up than they did for that one, though, because, yeah.
Yeah, that the movie would be a much bigger deal.
Yeah. Then I got this question completely separate and in a different place, so I believe this is actually a different person. What are older movies you'd want to see again on the big screen, and any specific kind of movie theater you want to be at for them? I mean, before the pandemic, I went to older movies all the time.
You'd get a bunch of older movies I would love to see in theaters.
Like the
again.
The theater right by my house used to do, I believe it was Tuesday nights. It was $5 tickets and $8 for all you can eat pizza brought to your seat.
Yeah, my theater does something similar.
Yeah, I mean,
I used to do the anniversary ones, like the one for Fifth Element was really.
Oh, see, fun. I would do those also, but like the weekly ones, it'd be like I go there, get the pizza for dinner, and be like Superman, Batman, Rebel Without a Cause, and it'd just be singing in the rain.
MASH in theaters.
You want to see what?
MASH.
Ooh.
See, problem is, I love MASH, but I love the TV show more.
I love them both.
That is acceptable.
I could see, man, I'd love to see Jurassic Park in theaters, the original.
You know, okay, one of my favorite ones, and Dev, like you said, you like the anniversary screenings. It was the
those are fun.
I believe it was the 25th anniversary screenings thing they did years ago for Ghostbusters. I decided I'm going to go to the first one with my dad. It was like 10 a.m. or whatever. It was like 10 a.m. on a Tuesday or something. We were the only ones in the biggest room at a huge theater. So all to ourselves for Ghostbusters.
Oh, that was fun.
That was awesome.
For a rescreening of something that's, you know, a beloved classic, that's something I would probably prefer to watch with a crowd.
Generically, I agree. Except, I also have the perspective of having sat through Wrath of Khan with an audience.
That's fair.
And someone deciding to, when Khan starts doing the Shakespeare speech, someone like monologuing it themselves in the theater is like, motherfucker, I want to see Ricardo Montalban do it. I don't want to see the dude who I can clearly hear chewing on popcorn doing it.
That's fair. And with Ghostbusters, which is a comedy, you want to hear the lines.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, there's, like, it's like end of Wrath of Khan, a deep moment. Someone's like, Ricardo Montalban doing a deep speech about how much he hates Kirk. I don't need someone in the audience monologuing the speech. The entire point of the speech is silence and one person saying it right as they're about to fucking die.
Yeah, I can't control for that, but
no, but that's what I mean.
Still,
like, I can control for
having the energy of watching it. Like I watched, when they re-released the original Star Wars trilogy in theaters. I watched those, and those were fun to watch with a group.
The 97 rescreenings.
Yeah.
Those were so good. Those rescreenings were good. I saw that at a local theater. It was not a big one, but it was a smaller one, and they still had like the old 80s, 90s style seats.
Mm-hmm.
As much
that was a thing about the late 90s is that Star Wars was just such a legendary thing that as much flack as the special editions and the prequels get now, experiencing them in theaters with a group was so huge.
No, it really was.
What it was such an experience.
It was also an experience because it was fun, and while people were loud, it was never loud to like here's the thing. I like Marvel movies generically, they are such a pain in the ass to go see in theaters.
Oh, I bet. The only one I've seen in theaters.
Thankfully, I don't deal with that.
The only one I've seen in theaters is Guardians of the Galaxy, which thankfully wasn't that much of an issue.
Like, I remember the exact moment when it was in Infinity War when Thor shows up at the end with the new hammer and people went batshit insane. It's like, motherfuckers, Thor's been in the movie. You already saw him get the new hammer. Why are you going apeshit for Thor showing up when it's 15, 20 minutes from the movie ending after Thor's been in it the whole movie?
Yep. Thankfully, Guardians of the Galaxy didn't have any moment like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone was just trying to follow the plot.
Yeah. I'm perfectly happy to see stuff in any fucking hole in the wall or nice theater. Like,
As long as it doesn't smell like pee, I'm fine.
Like, I love that you can have anime films at nice theaters now. I remember going to every weird-ass theater possible 20 years ago to see anime.
It's like, I'm gonna get murdered.
There's theaters I went to that I've tried looking up since then, and I can't find proof they exist. It's like, no, I had to go down 6 flights of stairs. There were escalators. It was clearly
somebody had to play the accompaniment on a piano.
No, that's what I mean. Like, I remember this
was in some forsaken shithole.
I remember this one theater. It was like in the middle of Hollywood or LA. It was clearly built into, like, they converted, like, an old parking structure into, like, a building. Had to go down a bunch of floors. The theaters were all thin, long rooms. And I saw the Escaflowne movie there, which was a shame. But, yeah, anything old, enjoyable. But I have a pretty decent setup here, so I can live without if this. Like, for when I'm done with work, I've got the disc of Last Starfighter to watch that. Because they just remastered that. They're remastering Weird Science and Ferris Bueller, which I'll love seeing those. It is great to see
them. I want to see the Jim Henson ones in theaters.
Oh, those are all so good, yeah. Moving on to the next question. For the various upcoming Digimon model kits and figures, are there any that we can't wait to get? I'll be honest, so many of them I lose track of because we find out about them so early. It's like we found out about Shine Greymon, was it last October? And I think it's coming out this month now, finally. And I think that's a great looking one. I think that's a cool one.
I put together my Dukemon. There's nothing on my radar now. If I see something in the future that catches my eye, like, you know,
I feel
vendor rumor or something, I'll probably just.
I feel like we have to get some more O2 anime themed non-amplified kits soon with the movie coming out.
Yeah.
Like a Pale Jamon kit.
Ooh. That might be fun to put together.
Yeah. I'd love to see something like that. Someone wants to know, did we catch any SGDQ runs and did we find any of them good?
No.
I didn't get a chance.
It being a month early feels like it threw people off on even being aware of it.
I was like, it's not even summer yet, what?
Yeah.
I only knew it was running because I checked the t-shirt website Yeti every day.
Every year the schedule goes ass up because, of course it does. It went up so ass up this year. This is the first time in years I did not stay awake for the end. I watched and did some work that I didn't need to watch stuff for, just some paperwork during the Breath of the Wild run, which was blindfolded, which was fucking psychotic.
I have to go back and find
that. Yeah, that I might have to dig out. Yeah.
Hour and a half long, starting and the entire time they're playing blindfolded for Breath of the Wild. And they finished it.
Oh my god.
Wow. I heard of blind punch out runs, but
no, absolutely. Like, and they even point out at the beginning, like,
another level.
They even point out at the beginning, like, Mario, even Mario 64, there are specific rules to how movement and sounds work that you can use to get through it. And they go, think about that. That does exist for the Breath of the Wild. It's just far more complicated.
Did they use the speedrun strats for, like, the Great Plateau, or did they do those eventually?
The earliest stuff was when I was doing paperwork and I had stuff muted because I had to pull up some audio, so I missed a lot of stuff.
That's what I would be curious about. Did they hack through the shrines and stuff?
So, they definitely didn't have a lot of hearts, so I think they did enough to have tools because they had bombs, I believe.
Okay.
So, the interesting thing is,
how the heck do you shield bounce on with blindfolded.
So showing off some blindfolded tricks, some of which were in fact speedrun moves.
Yeah.
But like how you could get to the castle quickly and stuff like that. But the most interesting to me is, do you remember what happens in Breath of the Wild if you try to go to the castle after the plateau?
Like immediately after the plateau?
Yes. Do you know what actually happens if you go to fight Ganon?
You have to go through the other blights.
Yes. So that means he had to not only get past the plateau and get to the castle and then get to the throne room, he had to fight all 4 blights, then Ganon.
That doesn't That doesn't so much surprise me. I mean, I'm already impressed enough that speedrunners get through all of them naked with three hearts. So
the one
blindfold
thing, so the
just
one,
adds like, okay, that's just another
so the
little
one,
notch
the one
of
thing
difficulty.
The one thing I do remember was he was there by about like 40 minutes, and then 40 or 50 minutes was running around the castle grabbing equipment.
That's typical, though. That's
yeah.
normal.
Yeah.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is
yeah, no, speedruns, you
memorizing
there are specific
where that
things.
Shit
you,
is.
Yeah. yeah. Minus, like, the couch explaining shit, it was very much a relatively normal blind run from what I saw, which I fully admit I saw less than half of it. I did learn some new stuff from when I was fully watching, though, at the end. Like, I did not know that when you're fighting Pig Ganon at the end, the light arrows, Pig Ganon has no hitbox for the light arrows, except for where you hit. So if you know where the spots are, you can shoot through him.
Oh.
So being blind doesn't matter as long as you know the
okay.
angles. You don't have to position yourself on either side.
Kind of shoot at the certain angle and
yes.
it'll hit him?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm like, oh, I don't recall that ever coming.
I feel like I might have accidentally taken advantage of that and not
yeah.
realized it before.
Yeah, it makes one or two times. Like I'm thinking one or two times when I played through, I'm like when I thought I missed and something hit, I'm like that might explain that.
Yeah.
The best run that I saw was definitely Baron of Shell, though, which was a Grand Pooh Bear playing a really hard Mario game. And that was supposed to be like, oh, we're near the end. And that started at 1:40 a.m., if you want to know how late everything was.
Oh, God.
I
just watched some of the stuff on YouTube
yeah,
when it comes to
I stayed up through the event recap, which ended at 3 a.m., and they were only getting ready to start the final race.
My God.
Yeah. And they normally try to plan it to end around midnight-ish. So you can see how far back things fell.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are some good ones. There's definitely ones that I need to go back and check just from doing work. Like, I really want to see the Tony Hawk's Underground one.
You know what would be funny? If Tony Hawk actually showed up to do the run and no one knew who the fuck he was.
But yeah, like, Tony Hawk's Underground is a massive game. And the person gets through it in, like, 34 minutes. And that's where the time's low enough where I'm not sure if they glitched or if they just cheesed it as much as they could.
I don't know enough about that game to wonder.
It is multiple open world areas where
yeah.
you can actually,
I mean,
you can get
but
off.
The thing is with the Breath of the Wild speed runs, there's the glitching part is only like the first half of the run.
Oh yeah.
Once you get those first four shrines done and get the paraglider, everything after that is completely conventional.
Yeah. And of course, one of the big high points, which I recommend for anyone, is Spike Vegeta running the Majora's Mask randomizer. That was great fun. And there's a reason why they always have him co-host interviews and stuff.
The fact that I enjoy Link to the Past randomizer so much makes me want to look into like Ocarina and Majora's Mask randomizers, even though I have never played those.
So watch his run of the Majora's Mask randomizer. He plays it with rules. I don't remember the exact how the rules were set up, but they called them Blitz. Watch that, mm-hmm. and it's just insanely good.
I know there was a Link to the Past randomizer one done at a GDQ where it was with the spoiler log, so you know where everything is in advance, and it's all about execution.
So they do those sometimes. The best one that I remember at GDQ was, I think it was the Link to the Past / Metroid one.
Mm-hmm.
Where anytime you go through a door or a hole, that
you
is actually that is connected to a door or a hole in Metroid, and you pop
yeah.
out in Metroid, and vice
yep.
versa.
There's entire tournaments for that.
Yeah, it
that's
is insane.
The whole thing.
But yeah, I missed a lot, which I'm going to go back and check. Like, what do I actually want to see? What was I asleep like? I believe I was busy when they did Minish Cap, and I would like to see Minish Cap.
I saw the Minish Cap one. I forget what happened for the most part, but that's one of my favorite Zelda games.
Yeah. I missed the Link Between Worlds one. I did see...
I need to play that still. I keep getting like halfway through the game and
excellent.
Stopping.
Yeah.
I know.
They did both Bloodstained Curse of the Moons in a row. And the first runner for that was Blacktastic, who last year gave up his slot to get them back on schedule. So they made it a whole block this time of... Whereas both of those games, then Castlevania Symphony of the Night, those were fun. And it shows, you know, good guy who gave up his slot last time so that stuff could keep going, and they made good on it this time. They did a Peggle speedrun.
I heard about that.
That was fantastic.
I'm not sure what to make of it, but
it was great. It was great, honestly. And then last question. Do you think Digimon will be at Anime Expo again this year? So there's an interesting asterisk here. So I always give the questions to... I put together the questions that we get on really late Sunday, put them together, throw them to Lost to put in the notes, and throw them to AR and Dev so they had them ahead of time. Today, Anime Expo put out their schedule.
Oh.
there's nothing Digimon officially on the schedule. There is a Bandai Entertainment panel. I don't know if I'd expect them to...
Yeah, it's...
Probably some card game stuff.
It's possible. No. I mean specifically a Bandai Entertainment, like the game, video game division.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. They have announced Bandai game... They have announced Digimon game stuff at that equivalent panel before. But I feel like if they had... I feel like it's not a great time with... They're going to be doing movie marketing. I feel like doing something around DigiFest would make more sense.
Yeah. There are better venues to announce a new game.
I probably would not have chosen this question if I knew if a few hours later we were going to get the schedule. And the person also...
It makes us sound smarter because we have a better idea.
Yeah.
Even though I don't think we're surprised that... to not expect anything.
No. But yeah. If there had been a Digimon panel, I would have gone, oh, they could have shown stuff for the movie. But we got it like right at the best time.
Yeah. And last year, that was right in the middle of the Survive hype. So
yeah, it really made sense.
That made sense too.
Yeah. Okay. AR, what are you doing? What have you done? And what shall you be doing?
I'm browning in convention work. I have multiple convention works to do this week. It's fun. So I did post something last week. I was ranking the endings of all the different Digimon series. That way I put that up a week or two ago. That's worth checking out. It's kind of some interesting ranking choices there.
Now, do you put in the ending in show or the last thing we've gotten for each respective universe?
Ending in show.
Okay, so Tamers will rank highly, then.
Yes. Tamers was number 2.
I'm trying to think.
For a minute there, I thought you meant like the ending themes.
No.
I'm talking about the actual how the series concluded.
If Tamers is 2, I'm trying to think, is there anything I could imagine being 1 that isn't adventure with Tamers being 2?
You're going to have to read the article to find out.
No, I think I can just say it's adventure.
It is not adventure.
Then you're wrong, and your choices are wrong.
Adventure was 3, and I explain why.
I'm trying to think what would actually be.
Obviously, it's Digimon Savers.
No, God, no. Actually, Savers slipped. The ending of Savers slipped quite a bit since I did System Restore. Like, the more I think about the Savers ending, the more I'm like, actually, I'm not a fan. So Savers is towards the bottom.
Where is this shit?
I'm gonna let you keep going and let people read the article.
God, that GDN person always posts the best artwork.
Dev, give us
that. Oh, that's kind of that's a head shit answer, AR.
I
won't spoil it. They have to go read it. That's a hedge.
The more I think about it, the more I stand by it. Dev, what's your article of the day?
Pillowmon, because I'm so sleepy. Actually, no, fuck it. I did that one before. Make it Belphamon sleep mode, because that's how I feel. I am so goddamn tired.
Yeah, Belphamon sleep mode. Same mood, but Savers.
Savers is actually lower on this list than I expected, to be honest.
It's gone down in my estimation.
Yeah, and I can be found at With the Will as always. We will catch you guys in about 2 weeks. Possibly even talking about Digimon Dreamers. We will see. Thank you, everyone, for showing up. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.